Well, it's my pleasure to go a little bit outside the Northeast Conference in the Cape Ann League now to a familiar voice, Brian Aylward, the Tewksbury High School coach. Brian, welcome back to MSO.
Hey, great to hear from you, Rick. It's always good to talk to you.
Well, you know, you're sort of like an extension to the Northeastern Conference because no matter what, and it's almost no matter what season, but certainly with football, somebody's got to go up there and play you guys. So I thought we'd best keep an eye on you this way.
That's good. That's good looking out. There's been a lot of good, it's kind of like a renewed, a new tradition,
yeah.
I guess, having to deal with a lot of good schools in that conference, for sure.
Absolutely. Hey, do you guys have a new football field?
It's under construction, so.
Excellent.
They're hoping that September 1, we'll be ready to rock and roll, and we're excited about it. I think it's going to be a pretty good setup.
Something to look forward to. That's great. Coach, we've been looking back with all the coaches that we've been talking to around the North Shore and this part of Eastern Massachusetts and taking a look at Fall 1 sports because, you know, as everybody knows, some of the sports got to play, football did not, and yet you were able to get together with your kids. So can you tell me a little bit about how that went, maybe some of the things you were doing and maybe how many kids were involved, that kind of thing. We're gonna talk names. When we get to Fall 2, we're going to talk names and captains and all that stuff. But how did Fall 1 go as such a new experience?
Well, I think the biggest challenge for all coaches once the news hit on the move to Fall 2 for the season was, how to keep the kids engaged, keep them dialed in, and I think you had to kind of walk the line. My concern was how much do you do so that you don't burn those guys out. You still want them to be ready to rock and roll when we actually start playing in February. So we did a combination of, continuing a strength program. We lifted like 3 days a week. And then, I had, different groups of kids would practice, on one of three nights, during the week. So, which I say nights, but was really only like an hour and a half session.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to kind of do a lot of teaching and take advantage of the time to do some of the things that we'll cut down on some of that organizational stuff that you'd have to do at the beginning of, the regular season when, we stopped playing in February.
Did you use any of the video technology, the Zoom and that stuff?
Yeah, I actually did, a few times. A few times we did just kind of trying to get ready for potentially going into like 7-on-7 stuff. But, once we got into the school year, I felt as though that might not be all that productive where the kids are kind of dealing with that kind of learning all day long and then have to do more.
Right.
Want that connotation. And, I was like learning best on the fields anyways. So we used it just a little bit, not a whole lot.
How'd the kids act out on the field? They enjoy getting together and sort of have some kind of a team, a chemistry type thing, if that's possible?
Yeah, absolutely. To put a jersey on and be a part of it. Any kind of lack of energy would have been an indication to me that we had to kind of scale back the activities that we were doing. So, I was more focused on the quality of what we were doing as much as the quantity, more so than the quantity rather, because, it's more about, okay, I want them to be associated with it. I want them to be engaged in it. I want them flying around 100%. And, the minute I feel as though we're kind of losing that, it's time to scale back. So we walked the line, I think, and I think the kids are great. I think we got a good senior group of leaders and guys that have paid their dues, and I'm you know, pulling for them to have a great opportunity in the spring.
You've had so much success over the years, and I know that every successful coach, if not every coach everywhere, but every successful coach certainly is a student of the game, and you have to keep learning. But what kind of challenges did you have personally, Brian, going into this Fall 1 thing? Because everything was up in the air back in spring, in fact, right on through August and September, right into September, as a matter of fact. So what kind of a learning challenge is it for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a challenge, and I wouldn't say it's any different than any other coach. I mean, I think every coach is always looking for ways to do things better. It was an opportunity to get some stuff online, listen to some coaches, look at some clinic stuff, and I was happy that, you know, the college football season, you know, got going. You know, I'm usually, you know, that's the place where I'm at most of the time. I like watching a lot of college football. My DVR is usually full. I had a little bit more time to actually watch them live. I get lost in like, oh, geez, this would be great to do this kind of scheme or that kind of scheme. But, certainly don't want to overthink things and start to do things that your kids can't do. You know, I mean, yeah. It's more about knowing what's in your wheelhouse and knowing what the kids understand and can do. And if you try to do too much, especially in the shortened season as we come around, you had to really think about what you can, you know, actually effectively install. But I did mess around with a couple things.
Well, I've learned over the years, especially being a good friend of Paul Ingram's, that high school football coaching is not just in the fall. It's a 12-month a year job. And changing gears a little bit, Coach. What's it like? Was it like having a couple of kids who played for you on Thanksgiving Day? I'm sure there were some highs and lows and some interesting conversations after practice many times during the fall. But Thanksgiving takes on a life of its own.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about kids in my own family, or
yeah, I'm talking about kids in your own family. I mean, I know you're a surrogate father to all of your kids, but I'm just wondering, a special memory of what it's like having kids at the table who are your sons, and then also they're your players.
Yeah, I mean that could be kind of a tough situation for them, but I don't feel the least bit sorry for them. I grew up that way, so my dad I played for my dad. I've lived in town pretty much my whole life. I've been to like 50 Tewksbury Wilmington Thanksgiving games, and I'm only 51, so I've been everywhere.
There you go.
This is going to be the first year that I won't. So that's always been a big part of things, and it's the reason why we don't have, we have a tight family, really good family, extended family from my father's side, from my mom's side. And then now as a married, my wife's side of the family. But, just as a precautionary measure, we don't have anybody outside of our immediate family on Thanksgiving just in case the game doesn't go good. So I guess it's somewhat dysfunctional, but, like,
I get
like,
that.
I think we've learned through experience growing up that it's really not fun for the guests that you have if we don't do good. So.
No, I understand, and I laugh about it, but it's only because I'm familiar with that. I got some friends who go through that, and it's an interesting experience. Coach, do you have a favorite memory or two of your coaching on Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, there's a lot of them, and you would think that on the seasons that we've done really well and. Certainly, with the schedule, the way that it works, in those years that we have to play on a Saturday,
by
Thanksgiving, and you don't have that extra time, and you got to rush into game prep and go in and play, that takes a tremendous amount of grind on the part of the kids. In particular, when you get so close to you know, on those Saturdays that we've lost. Take last year, for example. You know, it's just really, like, improbable the way that we got to the point where we're playing Duxbury to go to the Super Bowl. We lose that game in a real tough game. It wasn't good. And then have to turn around and play in front of your whole town 4 days later. We didn't have time to really, like, lick our wounds and, you know, we had to get ready to go back out there. And those kids went out and grinded it out. I was proud of that. That was great. And that was the most recent memory, but that was great. And, there's a lot of them. And a lot of times it's in those seasons that maybe didn't go the way that you wanted. And, you know, those kids, like, really, you know, played their hearts out on that last game, and they can have that last great memory. And, you know, I always tell the kids that, you know, you're going to be 100 years old and you're going to be able to look back and think about all the memories that you've had playing football, but you might not remember the Chelmsford game. You might not remember the Drake game or the Berwick game, but you're always going to remember your Wilmington game. You know, I mean, because of the atmosphere with the crowd and the finality of it usually is a lot of emotions.
I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, the game before and so on, because you guys have had so many Thanksgiving Day games where you've gone on to play afterwards. And I was wondering about the impact of Thanksgiving on that. You know, so many other schools, that's it. The Thanksgiving Day is their Super Bowl. But you guys have had so much success. I guess it's usually a win-win, but sometimes, it can be difficult, emotionally. And football is an emotional game. And having said that, Coach, anything special planned, or have you done anything special with maybe your seniors, this fall, or you're just gonna kind of wait till fall too?
Yeah, you know, I've given that a lot of thought. I've been with my guys, throughout the fall. In terms of doing something like a get together, to me, it just seems as though if it's not okay to play, then it shouldn't really be okay to do some other kind of gathering. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, that's consistent.
So we didn't really do anything that way. I'll be with them today in the weight room, and we'll spend some time together and, you know, just try to get them all focused on family and then we'll be again, together again shortly. And we're just going to do it that way. I didn't want to put, you know, anybody in the jam that maybe they were uncomfortable doing something. I don't know.
So on Thanksgiving Day, Coach, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Pretty lame, I guess. I wish I had a better, story for you that we're going to do something, get the players and the cheerleaders and all that together, but we're not.
No. I'm not, I understand that. And I think, as I've been saying, we're so close to getting past this thing. You don't want to screw it up right now.
Right.
All right, Coach, Thanksgiving Day this year. I understand you're going to be rooting for the, Houston Texans. Do I have that right?
Yeah, you get that right. So, yeah. So my oldest son, Johnny, who played just however many years back. He's in his second season as the offensive quality control coach for the Houston Texans. And, you know, it's just been a trying year, you know, down in Houston this year with, you know, Coach O'Brien and, you know, what happened down there. But, he's been with, you know, Romeo Crennel, and he's working hard. And so they had a big win against the Pats. That was a hard game to watch always when they play, but they needed a win. They got a win, and hopefully they can do it again tomorrow. And I'm very thankful that I have, you know, some kind of skin in the game, in a game on Thanksgiving, and to have that day completely vacant would be tough. So I'm glad we have that to watch at 12:30 on tomorrow.
Tewksbury High School Coach Brian Aylward.